Segment 7. Meanwhile, the evening came on, and the marketplace veiled itself in gloom. Then the people dispersed, for even curiosity and terror become fatigued. Zarathustra, however, still sat beside the dead man on the ground, absorbed in thought, so he forgot the time. But at last it became night, and a cold wind blew upon the lonely one. Then arose Zarathustra and said to his heart, "Verily, a fine catch of fish has Zarathustra made today. It is not a man he has caught, but a corpse. Somber is human life, and as yet without meaning. A buffoon may be fateful to it. I want to teach men the sense of their existence, which is a superman, the lightning out of the dark cloud man. But still am I far from them, and my sense speaks not to their sense. To men I am still something between a fool and a corpse. Gloomy is the night, gloomy are the ways of Zarathustra. Come, you cold and stiff companion, I carry you to the place where I shall bury you with mine own hands." Segment 8. When Zarathustra had said this to his heart, he put the corpse upon his shoulders and set out on his way. Yet he had not gone 100 steps when there stole a man up to him and whispered in his ear, and lo, he that spoke was the buffoon from the tower. "Leave this town, O Zarathustra," said he. "There are too many here who hate you. The good and just hate you and call you their enemy and despiser. The believers in the orthodox belief hate you and call you a danger to the multitude. It was your good fortune to be laughed at, and verily you spoke like a buffoon. It was your good fortune to associate with the dead dog. By so humiliating yourself, you have saved your life today. Depart, however, from this town, or tomorrow I shall jump over you, a living man, over a dead one." And when he had said this, the buffoon vanished. Zarathustra, however, went on through the dark streets. At the gate of the town, the gravediggers met him. They shone their torch on his face, and recognizing Zarathustra, they sorely derided him. "Zarathustra is carrying away the dead dog. A fine thing that Zarathustra has turned a gravedigger, for our hands are too cleanly for that roast. Will Zarathustra steal the bite from the devil? Well then, good luck to the repast. If only the devil is not a better thief than Zarathustra, he will steal them both, he will eat them both." And they laughed among themselves and put their heads together. Zarathustra made no answer thereto, but went on his way. When he had gone on for 2 hours, past forest and swamps, he had heard too much of the hungry howling of the wolves, and he himself became a hungry. So he halted at a lonely house in which a light was burning. "Hunger attacks me," said Zarathustra, "like a robber. Among forest and swamps, my hunger attacks me, and late in the night. Strange humors has my hunger. Often it comes to me only after a repast, and all day it has failed to come. Where has it been?" And thereupon, Zarathustra knocked at the door of the house. An old man appeared who carried a light and asked, "Who comes to me and my bad sleep?" "A living man and a dead one," said Zarathustra. "Give me something to eat and drink. I forgot it during the day. He that feeds the hungry refreshes his own soul," says wisdom. The old man withdrew, but came back immediately and offered Zarathustra bread and wine. "A bad country for the hungry," said he. "That is why I live here. Animal and man, come to me, the anchorite. But bid your companion eat and drink also. He is wearier than you." Zarathustra answered, "My companion is dead. I shall hardly be able to persuade him to eat." "That does not concern me," said the old man sullenly. "He that knocks at my door must take what I offer him. Eat, and fare you well." Thereafter, Zarathustra again went on for 2 hours, trusting to the path and the light of the stars. For he was an experienced nightwalker, and liked to look into the face of all that slept. When the morning dawned, however, Zarathustra found himself in a thick forest, and no path was any longer visible. He then put the dead man in a hollow tree at his head, for he wanted to protect him from the wolves, and laid himself down on the ground in moss. and immediately he fell asleep, tired in body, but with a tranquil soul. Segment 9. Long slept Zarathustra, and not only the rosy dawn passed over his head, but also the morning. At last, however, his eyes opened, and amazedly he gazed into the forest and the stillness. Amazedly, he gazed into himself. Then he arose quickly, like a seafarer who all at once sees the land, and he shouted for joy, for he saw a new truth. And he spoke thus to his heart, "A light has dawned upon me. I need companions, living ones, not dead companions and corpses, which I carry with me where I will. But I need living companions who will follow me because they want to follow themselves and to the place where I will. A light has dawned upon me. Not to the people is Zarathustra to speak, but to companions. Zarathustra shall not be the herd's herdsman and hound. To allure many from the herd, for that purpose have I come. The people and the herd must be angry with me. A robber shall Zarathustra be called by the herdsmen. Herdsmen, I say, but they call themselves the good and just. Herdsmen, I say, but they call themselves the believers in the orthodox belief. Behold, the good and just. Whom do they hate most? Him who breaks up their tables of values, the breaker, the lawbreaker. He, however, is the creator. Behold, the believers of all beliefs. Whom do they hate most? Him who breaks up their tables of values, the breaker, the lawbreaker. He, however, is the creator. Champions the creator seeks, not corpses, and not herds or believers either. Fellow creators the creator seeks, those who grave new values on new tables. Companions the creator seeks, and fellow reapers, for everything is ripe for the harvest with him. But he lacks the 100 sickles, so he plucks the ears of corn and is vexed. Companions the creator seeks, and such as know how to whet their sickles. Destroyers will they be called, and despisers of good and evil, but they are the reapers and rejoicers. Fellow creators Zarathustra seeks, fellow reapers and fellow rejoicers Zarathustra seeks. What has he to do with herds and herdsmen and corpses? And you, my first companion, rest in peace. Well have I buried you in your hollow tree. Well have I hid you from the wolves. But I part from you. The time has arrived. Twixt rosy dawn and rosy dawn, there came to me a new truth. I am not to be a herdsman. I am not to be a gravedigger. Not any more will I discourse to the people. For the last time have I spoken to the dead. With the creators, the reapers, and the rejoicers will I associate. The rainbow will I show them, and all the stairs to the Superman. To the lone dwellers will I sing my song, and to the twain dwellers, and to him who has still ears for the unheard, will I make the heart heavy with my happiness. I make for my goal. I follow my course. Over the loitering and tardy will I leap. Thus let my ongoing be their downgoing. Segment 10. This had Zarathustra said to his heart when the sun stood at noontide. Then he looked inquiringly aloft, for he heard above him the sharp call of a bird. And behold, an eagle swept through the air in wide circles, and on it hung a serpent, not like a prey, but like a friend, for it kept itself coiled round the eagle's neck. "They are mine animals," said Zarathustra, and rejoiced in his heart. "The proudest animal under the sun, and the wisest animal under the sun. They have come out to reconnoiter. They want to know whether Zarathustra still lives. Verily, do I still live? More dangerous have I found it among men than among animals. In dangerous paths goes Zarathustra. Let my inanimals lead me." When Zarathustra had said this, he remembered the words of the saint in the forest. Then he sighed and spoke thus to his heart. Would that I were wise from the very heart, like my serpent. But I am asking the impossible. Therefore do I ask my pride to always go with my wisdom. And if my wisdom should someday forsake me, alas, it loves to fly away. May my pride then fly with my folly. Thus began Zarathustra's downgoing.